Look at me and my band. We've got youth, we've got talent, we've got sex appeal.
Hi, this is Keith, your host, and it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Now, this whole thing is ridiculous.
Well, thank you. The Retro Radio Podcast, the Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
And you know, Don, that's a lot.
Always family-friendly, always good, clean fun.
Connie Haynes, don't you like her range?
Yes. In fact, I like her whole kitchen.
It's the place where new tech meets old tech and likes it.
See, I'm so ashamed of myself.
Now located at retro-otr.com.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Visit us today and leave us a comment. Email us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast. Today's feature is one of Bob Hope, December 6, 1949, guest, Jack Benny.
Now, here's Keith with an important announcement.
I was looking at some website statistics. I did some calculations, and I kind of set a personal target for myself to try to boost my listening audience. And what I thought I would do is if you, my podcast listener, will refer 20 people to subscribe to the podcast. And the way I would tally that, of course, you would have to have those friends. Just drop me an email. If I get 20 people saying that, hey, this, insert your name here, person sent me, then I'll give you credit for anyone who emails me. So it's kind of a non-scientific thing.
Naturally, they're your friends. Don't you trust them?
And the grand prize will be...
That'll be $10,000.
No.
Stop quibbling about price. This is important.
It will be the fact that I will dedicate an entire podcast to you, the listener, who referred 20 other listeners to the show.
So, to recap, tell all your friends about us, even your enemies.
Tell anybody who you know, will enjoy old-time radio classics.
Have each one send Keith an email.
Use the contact form.
Or any of the comment fields for any of the show notes.
As long as they say that you sent them.
Anybody with 20 people signing up for the podcast will win the grand prize.
A retro radio podcast dedicated especially to you.
Here's Peggy Lee. I can't give you anything but love.
Yeah. one of our recent programs, we said that
Retro Radio
was delicious, served perfectly plain. Well, it seems that one of our listeners objected to that, for she wrote in and said, there's no such thing as plain
Retro Radio.
The shimmering mold of
Retro Radio
in any one of those six beautiful colors just simply can't be plain. Well, of course, she's right about that, but what we meant was this. You don't have to add anything to
Retro Radio
to make it delicious. You can serve it without any special dressing up, and you'll have a grand
podcast
every time.
Retro Radio
brings you delicious extra rich fruit flavor that rivals the flavor of the fresh ripe fruit itself. But whether you serve
Retro Radio
plain or with fruits, nuts, or whipped cream, you'll always find it makes a grand
podcast.
So insist on genuine
Retro Radio.
Don't accept any substitutes. Well, there's only one
Retro Radio.
And only
Retro Radio
brings you that special extra rich flavor. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell
Retro-OTR.com. We have some time, so here's Tiny Bradshaw. A chicken ain't nothing but a bird.
Chickens are wonderful birds. Say this, say that. Chicken ain't nothing but a bird. Some folks call it a fowl. Lots of other things are heard. Well, quote this, quote that. Chicken ain't nothing but a bird. You can roast it, broil it, toast it, lay it in the pan or the pot. Eat it with tomatoes, rice, potatoes. Chicken is what you got. It was the day before Caesar. Even King Henry III, but Lumber was hip, says you can't fool me. A chicken ain't nothing but a bird.
Now time for this feature.
It's Bob Hope. With Doris Day, Jack Kirkwood, Irene Ryan, yours truly, Hi Abovac, Les Brown and his band of renown, and our special guest, Jack Benny. Bob Hope!
Well, I just got back from Texas. It was wonderful to be down in that Texas sunshine where men are men and women are women. Especially after California, where it's so smoggy, you just have to guess. Yes, sir. The whole country's on instruments out here, aren't they? I went to Texas to appear at a milk fund show, see a football game, check an oil well, go quail hunting, and get some rest. It was so much fun, I wish I could have stayed for a second day. I really do. And that Texas is really rugged and rough country. It's the only state where the mules whip Frankie Lane. Carter gave me a cowboy hat for Phil Harris, a 20-gallon hat. Has two faucets and a Filipino bartender. And are they rich in Texas? They refer to Ali Khan as the sharecropper who married our Rita. Rita's husband, Ali Khan, was down in Texas, too. He's trying to strike a midget gusher that'll produce baby oil.
Isn't that a sweet joke, huh?
And they don't have house detectives in the hotels down there. Just a big sign of the transom. Remember, the eyes of Texas are upon you. And over the weekend, I saw the Notre Dame-SMU football classic. There was a game. What weaving, bobbing, ducking, and squirming. Then just when I get under the fence, they made me go outside and buy a ticket. When I walked in the stadium, they really rolled out the red carpet. I was wearing my low-cut polo shirt, and they thought I was Princess Margaret. But what a game. It was so tense and exciting. During one play, I looked around at the spectators, and three camels were smoking doctors. What a battle. I can't describe how exciting it was, but there was a Chesterfield billboard that went into the stadium, and before the first quarter was over, Arthur Godfrey ran out of cigarettes. Most of the Texas boys are farmers, too, you know. In one play, the SMU quarterback put his hand down to the center to get the ball. The center grabbed his fingers, and before they could stop him, he got 3 quarts of milk. Notre Dame was driving down the field in one play when suddenly the captain said, "We better lose a few yards, fellas. We're too far ahead of Bill Stern." Bill Stern, that's the Laurence Olivier of the sports announcers. When SMU drove down to Notre Dame's goal line, he made it sound so dramatic that a posse rode in from Houston. They thought it was another attack on the Alamo. And in honor of my latest picture, there were signs all over Fort Worth saying, "The great lover is coming." When I got off the plane, somebody said, "Is that the great lover?" I thought Alvin Barkley was a much younger man. Les Brown and his band, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Capitol Records has just released a platter of this number by Maggie Whiting and yours truly. And here now to give it the swan touch is our Doris Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Just a bungalow for two, so ripe for each other.
We won't need a view, we'll see one another.
No glamour around us,
but aren't you glad we found it? Lucky us. So we haven't got a maid, they're so interfering.
When we pull a shade, who's seeing, who's hearing?
Two candles are blowing.
Our happiness is showing. Gee. Lucky us. If we had a million, we might want a billion and be uneasy on our throne.
But with love beside us, we're richer than modest. Meet the royal family, Jones.
You know, I'll come home from work at night.
We'll kiss in the doorway.
Check eyes so shiny bright to welcome me your way.
So happy,
so humble.
Love to grumble. Lucky us.
The rich pearly oysters who cluster in cloisters can never see beyond their rocks.
You can't kiss a bank book and gold has a blank look.
Who could
live and love
it more
now?
But Al Jolson.
You know, there'll be socks and things to mend.
I'll keep you in stitches.
Oh, that's a joke.
Time is all we'll spend with us. Time is riches.
So happy
with all things
because we have the small things.
Lucky us.
Gee. Lucky us.
The Christmas.
Christmas shopping costs money. So before Bob started out with his list, he stopped in at the bank. We now find him talking to the manager.
Oh, I wouldn't take up your time like this, Mr. Bruce, but I'm an old customer of the bank, and this is a very important matter.
Very well. Sit down, and I'll see that we're not disturbed. Miss Mullins, cancel my long-distance call to the Bank of England. Tell General Motors I'll be late for the conference and call Harry at Blair House and tell him we'll have to discuss that billion-dollar loan later. And see that I'm not disturbed. I have a very important meeting. Now, Mr. Hope, what is it you wish to see me about?
Well, your calendar came, and I don't like it.
Do you mean to tell me you interrupted my business day for that?
I don't like the calendar, that's all. I don't like it. Even my grocery store gives me one with a picture of a gorgeous pettigirl in a negligee. Who wants to see Grandma Moses in a bare midriff?
Grandpa Moses. Now get out of here and don't bother me.
You get out with that egg, will you, please? Well, I'm almost up to the teller's window. It sure was a long wait.
May I help you?
Yes. Are those real $1,000 bills?
That's right.
Gee, is that stack over there real $5,000 bills? And are those $10,000 bills?
Yes.
Gee, what beautiful money.
Would you mind stepping back, please? I'm going to close now, and I don't want to shut the window on your eyeballs.
Well, how do you like that guy shutting the window before I got a good look? But I can't get over that picture on the $10,000 bill. I can understand why Alexander Hamilton is on there, but why should he have his arm around Jack Benny? Well, I better go over to the department store. I have to meet Doris.
Oh, gee, Bob, this store is certainly crowded.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. This is an interesting counter, and here's a present that would be just perfect for Crosby. A money belt with little suspenders around it.
Bob, that's the lingerie department.
Well, I don't know about those things. I've never seen an unabridged Sears Roebuck catalog.
Oh, Bob, look, have you seen these new personality dolls? They're made to look just like celebrities.
Yeah, I know. Have you seen this one of Martha Truman? It's great. You just press a button and it leaves on a concert tour. And have you seen the one of me, Doris?
You?
Yes, since my latest picture, they brought out a great lover doll. You should see me as a little doll. I walk and talk and I even make love, just like in real life. Yeah, of course, you have to wind me up.
Yeah, just like in real life.
Doris, Jukebox Jenny, come over here.
Yes, Bob.
Where did you get that joke?
I got it from Les Brown. Don't you think he should be a gag writer?
I don't know. Let's wait and see how they classify him at the unemployment office. Let's go to the gift wrap counter and see if our...
Hello, Doris. Hello, Mr. Ryan.
Well, Miss Ryan. Well, how are you? Did you see that?
Goodness, Mr. Hope. I've never been so upset in my whole life. I should never go out in crowds like this.
Well, you are a little frail for it.
Yes, I am. I should have known an accident would happen, and it did, too. The crowd pushed me, and I backed into one of those pneumatic suction tubes. The next thing I knew, the cashier was poking around in my mouth for loose change.
My, Miss Ryan, your hair certainly looks different.
Well, it ought to. I had to wait till they brought it back to me from the mezzanine. Have you finished your shopping, Mr. Holmes?
Well, everything but my Aunt Alice's present. I was thinking of buying her a pair of stockings, but I don't know her size.
Well, her legs anything like mine?
No, hers go straight up and down. This is a jazzy joke. That's cute. Yeah, all right.
I'm so happy, Mr. Hope. I bought all my gifts this year, and I still have enough money to buy a dress for myself.
Oh, how nice. Miss Ryan, why don't you spend the money for a formal, a strapless evening gown?
Oh, no. Strapless gowns on me are confusing.
They're confusing?
Yes. On me, you can't tell whether it's a skirt that crept up too high or a sweater that slid down too low.
Bye. yard beautiful, Bob?
Yeah, those Christmas trees really put you in the right mood. I'm really loaded with Christmas spirit.
Oh, Bob, look, there's a Santa Claus ringing his bell.
Yeah, Doris, let's stop and cheer him up. Hello, Santa. Merry Christmas.
What's merry about it, boy? My feet are killing me, and this California sunshine is giving me fog poisoning. I wish I was out in Beverly Hills. The Santa Clauses out there have suits made out of mink trimmed with ermine.
Well, where'd you get that suit you're wearing?
You'd be surprised what you can do with a bottle of ketchup and some long underwear. Oh, things are miserable.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Toss something in the tambourine, boy.
Santa?
You wouldn't believe it if you could see the broken down shack my wife and I live in.
Oh, sounds awful.
Oh, it is. The mice come in, take a look at us, and then send swan wrappers to care.
But gee, I feel sorry for you, Santa.
Oh, you ain't heard the half of it, boy. If we got thrown out of there, we wouldn't have any place to sleep at all if it wasn't for a friendly cab driver.
You mean you sleep right in
there? Fortunately, my wife has the kind of a head that fits right into the glove compartment.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Toss something in the tambourine, boy.
Bob, I wouldn't give him anything. He sounds phony.
Yeah, why should I give you any money? How do I know it's a legitimate cause?
Oh, now you've hurt Santa's pride, boy. And I call you boy purely on speculation. All this money will be used honestly.
Bob, I'm sure he's not an authentic Kris Kringle.
You should have seen me a couple of weeks ago. The department store furnished me with a real live reindeer.
Well, where's the reindeer now?
Well, it disappeared. And you know something? The manager of the department store accused me of eating it. It was a preposterous accusation.
Well, did you deny it to the manager?
Oh, yes. And I think I would have convinced him of my innocence, but I was picking my teeth with the antlers at the time.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Look, buddy, can't you read the sign? Nobody is allowed backstage here at NBC without a pass. You ain't got a pass, so you can't go in. Now get out of here, Mr.
Benny, Jack Benny.
Jack Benny? Hey, you're the guy that went over to the other network, huh?
Yes, yes.
And now you come back here and you want to go inside. Boy, you got guts.
I've got a General Electric blanket, too.
Now, look, listen, Mr. Benny, I really can't let you in without a pass. Mr. Hope will be through this broadcast in a few minutes. Why don't you have a seat and wait?
Well, thank you. All right. Dum 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 dum. LSMFT. Dum 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 dum. Gosh, being back here at NBC gives me such a nostalgic feeling. It's almost like coming home. I had so many wonderful times here. Gee, I wish they could afford me. Well, the old place hasn't changed a bit. I used to sit in this very same seat and wait for Mary. I used to walk through that door every Sunday. Now, look, there's the payphone I used to call home after each broadcast. I wonder... My string is still here, but somebody took the nickel. Gee, I wonder... Oh, here comes Hope down the hall. My, how he's aged. Look at those bags under his eyes. He looks like a young Fred Allen. No, he looks more like an old Fred Allen. What's the difference? Even a young Fred Allen looks like an old Fred Allen. Just can't get over how awful Bob looks. Huh?
Hey, Mr. Hope, there's somebody here to see you.
There is?
Oh, Jack. Jack Benny.
Oh, how are you, Bob? Gee, you look wonderful.
Jack, why didn't you come backstage to see me?
Well, I wanted to, Bob, but this man behind the desk wouldn't let me through.
I couldn't let him through, Mr. Hope. He didn't have a pass.
Oh, he's just sore because I went over to CBS.
You shouldn't have said that word, Jack. Now we'll all be on bread and water for 30 days. Anytime Mr. Benny wants to see me, he doesn't need a pass.
I was just doing my job, Mr. Hope. You know the stumble bums we get backstage here? How did I know he just wasn't trying to peddle Christmas cards?
Oh, the very idea. Jack Benny peddling Christmas cards. Isn't that ridiculous? Tell him, Jack. Well, go ahead, Jack. Tell him. Okay, I'll take a half a dozen green ones.
Thank you. And, Bob, if you want to buy any of those rubber circus animals, be sure and give me a call. Rochester's at home blowing them up right now.
Well, let's not talk here, Jack. Come on back to my dressing room.
Okay.
Well, make yourself comfortable, Jack.
Fine, I'll just sit in this chair.
Oh, now, wait a minute. I always sit in that chair.
But I'm sitting in it.
All right, you face the mirror. Can I get you something, Jack? A cigarette?
No, no, thanks. I just finished one.
Cup of coffee?
Coffee? Gee, it's been weeks since I had a cup.
Well, why? On account of the high prices?
No.
Well, it's not that, Bob.
All right, then have a cup.
Oh, how much?
It's free, Jack. And after you're through, I'll wrap up the grounds for you to take home. They'll be delicious with your Saratan. Well, tell me, Jack, what did you want to see me about?
Well, I don't even like to bring this up, Bob, because it's probably an oversight on your part, but your new picture, The Great Lover, is doing so well, and since I was in the picture and more or less contributed to its success, don't you think it's only fair that you,
What are you trying to say, Jack?
Toss something in the tambourine, boy.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, after all, when you called me in to appear in your picture, I thought there was money involved.
Well, there was. You cost Paramount thousands. Remember that week we had to stop shooting so you could go up to Fresno and pick up a few bucks during the grape crushing season?
Well, 30 cents an hour is nothing to sneeze at, you know.
No, and with that stain on your feet, you won't have to buy socks for a year.
There's a nice line for a guest star.
You played it well.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bless you.
I can't think of another word.
I can, but you can't do it.
Hey,
Roberto,
to top that.
Come
what are you saying?
Get out of Stromboli. Either give me a joke pretty soon or give me my money, will you?
Oh, forget it, Jack.
Forget it. A man my age has to start thinking about money. After all, when you get to be 39, you know, your earning power is cut down a bit.
How old are you?
39. Going on 38.
Oh, that's what I like about you, Jack. You don't keep changing your age. You get one you like and stick to it.
Well, Bob, I hate to compromise, but if you'll pay me the money, I'll put one of the songs from your picture on my show next week.
Well, which one?
Well, how about 1,000 violins? I've been practicing it.
You have?
Yes, I have my violin right here. I'll show you. Let me get it out.
is that a tin cup in your case?
Yes, I keep my rods in it. And get your foot off that dime.
Okay, let's hear you play 1,000 violins.
Okay. Just want to warm up a little bit. I got so much talent, it scares me, you know?
Scares me, too. Okay, anytime, Evelyn.
How do you like it so far, Bob?
Sounds like something the mule train left behind.
You know, he's right. I'm a jackass for coming over here.
You played it well. Now, wait a minute. That's not in the song. That's not in the song. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What do you say, Bob? Do I get the money?
Jack, stop talking about the money. Tell you what I'll do. I'll put it in the bank for you. It'll accumulate interest, and someday you'll have a nice nest egg.
A nest egg? Look, great lover, I'm a working man, not an Easter bunny. Bob, I was depending on that money to buy Christmas presents.
Really?
Yes, I was just making up my list. I have to get presents for Mary and her father and mother, sister Babe and her brother, and something for Dennis and Phil and Don and Rochester.
Well, gee, how much do you need?
Give me $5 and we'll call it.
That's it, huh? I want to thank Jack Benny very much, and also Lucky Strikes. Thanks, Jack, for the memory of a swell evening. And I want to say thanks to that big and big-hearted state of Texas and that titanic Texan, Monty Moncrief and Eamon Carter, for the memory of the big Milk Fun Show in Fort Worth last week. And thanks to Notre Dame and Southern Methodist for the memory of that All-American Thriller in the Cotton Bowl. Brother, that one made history. In fact, the Lone Star State is now rewriting the history book to read Remember the Alamo and Never Forget SMU versus Notre Dame. It was one of the greatest exhibitions of college spirit of this or any year. And another wonderful example of college spirit is the Living War Memorial Fund of the University of Southern California. You know, each year on the Trojan campus, an organization of student veterans, Trovets they're called, put on a drive to raise funds for scholarships for the children and their buddies who didn't come back. Good luck, Trovets. Believe me, no touchdown drive can ever equal yours. Good night, folks. Let's get those Christmas packages in the mail early. Let's give our pal the mailman a break. Don't break his back. Good night.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Adios.
So long.
Well, silver.
Get him up.
Get him up.
I'll silver.